Today's scripture lesson comes to us from the first chapter of Job, verses 1 through 12. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of fasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then. Everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger."
Again. Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our strength. That's all right. Yeah. Okay. Or else we can get them lit, whichever one you want. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then that's great. Okay. All right. Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. So they updated the grocery store that's right in my neighborhood. Now when you walk past the vegetable department, there's an automatic mister, and in the distance you hear the sound of rolling thunder, and you can smell rain. When you go by the egg department, you hear the clutter of chickens. When you go by the meat department, you hear sizzling meat on the grill. When you go by the milk department, you hear cows mooing in the distance. And when you go by the bread section, you smell the aroma of fresh baked biscuits. It's the kind of grocery store that would be made especially for people like Job. Job was rich. He was wealthy beyond measure. Job had it all. He had wealth, family, influence, a good name in the community. But most of all, God had placed a hedge of protection around Job so that everything that he did prospered. And there's probably been times in our lives when we've felt like that. Life has been going great. We feel wonderful. People ask you, "How you doing?" And we say, "I'm blessed by the best." Got a brand new raise? Well, welcome to the world of Job. Had a brand new baby girl? Welcome to the world of Job. Just married the guy of your dreams? Welcome to the world of Job. There are times in our lives where it feels like nothing can possibly go wrong. But if you live long enough, you know that things can get messy. And what starts out so right can quickly go wrong. You end up losing that job and you're fired in disgrace. The beautiful baby grows up, runs away, and gets hooked on drugs. The guy of your dreams runs off with another woman, and you're left with nothing but ashes. Well, again, welcome to the world of Job. See, in one horrible day, Job lost his wealth, his house, his reputation, and his children. One day, everything is great, and then the next day, actually, and in the next moment, it all changes. The book of Job is written to address the question, why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? If God is good, and if God is all-powerful, why does God allow Job to go through these tough times? Job is a book that was relevant 3,000 years ago, and it's relevant today. Today, people are asking the same question. Why is God allowing the coronavirus to continue? Where is God in our time of need? Today, the message is supposed to be following the Apostles' Creed, and we're at the point that says, I believe in the forgiveness of sin. But the truth is, some people right now are struggling with forgiving God. People are hurting. They're mad. And they're wondering, God, how could you let this happen? Let me tell you some things that you already know. Number one, in this life, we suffer. In this life, we suffer. Thomas Hobbes was a 16th century philosopher, and this is what he said. He said, the life of man is poor, nasty, brutish, and short. I learned that in college, and when the professor said that, I completely disagreed. I said, my life is great, my life is wonderful. But over the course of history, we see that for a vast number of people, they experience hardship, poverty, and sickness. Earlier, I met with Dick Robinson, who's 94 years old, and Jerry Russell, who's 104 years old. And they reminded me of what it was like when our nation was in World War II. You see, what we're going through today is nothing new. Back in the 1600s, there was a plague that was so bad that there was a Lutheran German pastor named Martin Rinkart. Was the only pastor left in his town. And he conducted up to 50 funerals a day. In this life, we suffer. Here's another thing that you already know, but it's harder even to deal with. Life isn't always fair. Life isn't always fair. You don't always get what you deserve. Young people, you might do right and others will make fun of you. While others do what's wrong and get lifted up as cool. When we're adults in our careers, sometimes it's the people who cheat and lie that seem to get ahead, while other people of morals and characters get left behind. That's not fair. From our scripture lesson, we hear that Job is blameless and upright. Now, that doesn't mean that Job is perfect, but what it does mean is that he's honoring God and that he turns away from evil. So Job is such a good guy that God brags on Job. God says to Satan, have you seen my servant Job? Let me pause for a moment and just say, isn't that kind of a cool thought? To think that God might be bragging on you? God might be saying right now, have you seen my servant Debbie Rose, who's making popcorn for her community? Or have you seen my servant Elaine Etchison, who's sharing extra milk? Have you seen my servant Lila Jordan, who's crafting handmade face masks and giving them to people? Think about it. God just might have a bumper sticker that says, I have an honor roll student at Lawrence United Methodist Church. God brags on Job, and then Satan asks, is Job so wonderful for nothing? See, God, you put a hedge of protection around him, but if you removed that hedge of protection from around him and allowed me to take all those things that you gave to him, then Job would curse you. Simply let him suffer the pain of poverty. Simply let him suffer the pain of loss. Let him suffer the pain of losing his good name, and he will curse you. And God says, very well then. This might be the three hardest words in the entire Bible for me. Very well then. That doesn't sound like a God who's on our side. That doesn't sound like a God who's rooting for us. That doesn't sound like a God who loves us. Very well then. That doesn't seem very fair. See, the way I sometimes think is that I make this deal with God. I give my life to God, and then God's job is to take care of me. I do right in my life, I go to church, and I give, and then God, your job is to put this hedge of protection around me. Your job is to take care of me. That's the deal. That's what's fair. Or is it? See, us getting mad and upset at God when God doesn't do what we want God to do, doesn't that prove Satan's point? Us shaking our fist at God, us turning our backs on God, doesn't that prove exactly what Satan was saying all along? We worship God only for what God does for us and not for God's worthiness. See, in life there's suffering and life isn't always fair, but in the midst of that, here's one thing that I want us to remember. Remember that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Church, no evil comes from God, but no evil happens without God's permission. I told you that I hated to read the words very well then. But very well then reminds me that God is still on the throne. Very well then reminds me that Satan tried his very worst, but God used it for good. Very well then reminds me that this too shall pass. Very well then reminds me that God is with us in good times and in bad times. Very well then. And as I hear those three words, I'm reminded that on the cross, Jesus also said three words. It is finished. Once again, Satan thought that he had the answer. Satan thought that if he could simply strip Jesus of family, followers, health, and even life, then he too would even curse you, God. And yet God takes the pain, the suffering, the sacrifice. And instead of wasting it, God uses it to save the world. John 3:16 and 17 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I love how 17 goes on and says, for the Son of Man came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of something that was totally unfair, it is finished. So why do bad things happen? I don't know. And ultimately, that's part of the answer in the book of Job. We don't know. We aren't God. God's ways are above our ways. But here's one thing that we do know. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." See, I believe that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And suffering and unfairness, they're a little bit like exercise. Exercise can either make you stronger or weaker, but it never leaves you the same. When this coronavirus passes, and it will, the question is, will we be stronger in our relationship with God? Or will we be weaker? One of our young adults addressed this better than I ever could. In a recent Facebook post, Robbie Lasher wrote this, "I don't say this much, but I'm happy I have God with me all the time when I'm going through stuff. Some of you people probably don't know this, but I lost my mom back in 2017 when I was 16 years old. All I did was pray for her to get better and God to answer my prayers. But on the day that she died, I lost faith. I was mad at God because I didn't get to tell her goodbye, and also because he never healed her. But then a few years have passed and I look back. God knows I was mad at him, but he still stuck by my side and helped me through the loss of my mom, and is now also helping me through my depression and anxiety. And when the day comes, when we all go, I hope to be standing right next to God." They changed the grocery store right by where I live. Now when you walk by the vegetable department, there's an automatic mister, and in the distance you hear rolling thunder and you smell rain. When you go by the egg department, you hear the cluck of chickens. When you go by the meat department, you hear sizzling meat on the grill. When you go by the milk department, you hear cows mooing. And the bread department, when you walk by the bread department, you smell baking biscuits. But I don't buy toilet paper there anymore. Friends, sometimes life stinks. Do I believe that God needs forgiving? No, not at all. But I'm thankful that God forgives us. And here's how God did it. When we were lost in sin, God said, "Very well then." And God sent his son Jesus into a situation that was unfair. There Jesus suffered and he bled until it was finished. Now, I don't know why we suffer, but I do know that we do not suffer alone. Amen. Amen.